Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to On the Bench. This is Brendan Sinone. Josh Neuberger is with me today. And
hey. Joining us,
hi. I thought I was supposed to be the obnoxious one. You're flipping our whole dynamic right now, and it's making me very anxious.
It's Friday. It's Memorial Weekend. I'm day trading. I'm in the green. We got Wayne on. I'm ready.
Yeah, we have friend of the show, friend of me, friend of us, Wayne McGahey of the Tallahassee Democrat. Wayne, welcome and thanks for putting up with the shenanigans thus far. How's it going, dude?
Hey, man, how's it going? You're still the obnoxious one, by the way. That's not going to change just because he goes, hey.
No, you're right. It was more just I'm usually start off the show as the obnoxious one. And then Josh's like whole thing is to act like he doesn't care. And that's the formula. And he's ruining it right now.
And I mean, he's bouncing up and down like he's ready to get going.
This is making me really weird. It's not what I'm used to. It's because he just took a poop and made $24 on the stock market. It doesn't take much.
We are ready to pod today. I came ready. I'm here. We got Wayne. You got questions, Brendan?
You know we're reaching the bottom of the barrel for the Meet the Beat series when we have Wayne on.
Ooh.
All right, Josh, I want to start off with something. Actually, Wayne, let me ask you this, because Wayne's legitimately like one of my best friends, and him and Chris Knee hang out a lot, and Wayne spends a lot of time with Josh when Josh is on campus covering recruiting. So like Wayne knows all of us, knows all of our dynamics, as well as anyone on the beat. Wayne, who's the biggest diva at Knowles247.com?
You are.
No! Explain yourself.
I mean, you are.
Detail.
You whine a lot.
I mean, that makes me whiny.
About pretty much everything.
All right.
If something doesn't go your way, it's a huge deal.
It is a huge deal.
All right. You know, I wasn't going to bring this up. Josh, settle something for us.
Okay.
this is a debate that Wayne and I spent like 10 minutes on the other day, and it drove me crazy. Would you consider Dunellen, about 2 hours from where you live, would you consider that part of West Florida, Central Florida, or North Florida?
Central Florida.
Thank you.
Okay. But it's not for the regions that I was doing for this series that I'm writing.
Okay.
Because I had to make it to where it was all like fairly even spread out because of where, you know, recruits actually live.
All right. So let's get this interview started off right. Since Wayne is on the beat with the Tallahassee Democrat, Wayne, how long have you been on the beat? When did you join our little family?
I started writing about Florida State prior to the 2013 season. I was working as an intern at Scout, the Knoll Digest site, which is now part of, you know, the 24/7 family.
Thought your ass is out.
Yep. Yeah, that was after I was gone. I would have told him not to, but no, I'm just kidding. That's probably the best move that that company ever made.
Yeah, we inherited like 10 whole subscribers from that. It really benefited Knowles 24/7 in particular.
Yeah, once I left, everything just went downhill.
Yes. It's true.
That's usually how it goes.
It is true.
So you joined the beat. What year was that?
That was like September or August 2013. And then I moved down to Tallahassee in December of 2013 and started working on the beat in January 2014. So that's when I started.
So right at the national championship is like when you started, literally.
Yep.
Like a couple days before.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And you, and I know this, but I want to, you know, get into it with the fans here that are listening, but you grew up a diehard Florida State fan, right?
Yes, very much so. I've been to two national championship games as a fan. I've been to probably 100 Florida State games in the stands. My dad grew up in Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. He was there for Bobby Bowden's first game at Florida State in Tallahassee.
Wow.
Bowden's last game at Florida State in Tallahassee. They had, my family had season tickets back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, Florida State's been in my blood for, since I was born.
Your blood is garnet.
It is.
Do you think that's helped you quickly build up? So when Wayne tweets out something, he has a lot of followers, but like loyal followers and people who retweet him. And Wayne, I guess what I'm saying is I feel like your voice carries a strong amount of weight among this fan base. Do you think the fact that you have so much history with Florida State and are passionate about the program you cover has helped expedite that process? Like it didn't take long when you joined the Democrat for you to really start developing a pretty sizable following.
Yeah. I think that it helps because I feel like it shows that I care about what I'm writing about in my writing. So I think that helps. Like, I think that carries some weight because it's obvious that I do care about what I write about. Especially when it comes to Florida State, football, baseball, basketball, grew up watching it and grew up caring about it. And I feel like that carries over. Sometimes it gets, difficult to put the fandom aside, but I do my best to do that. I do feel like that when I am writing, especially when I get to write columns and, stuff like that, I feel like that carries, that carries weight because I do care so much about it and it's been such a big part of my life.
And even like your dad comes down to every single game or when you travel, like I've gone and traveled with you at times when we were doing road trips and we'll hang out with your dad and he goes to every game. So it is something that has gone through generations. So given that it is so important to you, your family, what's it been like the last few years seeing this program one struggle and then two being the one who's the beat writer for the local paper covering this program and probably its worst times and maybe decades.
It's been very difficult. It was much more the past few years, the last year of Jimbo, the first 2 years of Willie, and the last 2 years of Willie.
The only 2 years. Yeah.
The only 2 years of Willie. The first two, last two, only two, whatever you want, however you want to describe it, have been much more difficult. For me, just because I do care so much. So putting aside, that and doing my job has become, more difficult as the struggles go on. It's easy to, write good things and be excited about a program when things are going well, but when things aren't going well, it gets progressively more difficult. It's been tough because I do care so much about the program. I graduated from Florida State after, going to Florida State was a lifelong dream for me. Coming out of high school, just outside of Atlanta, I wasn't able to get into Florida State originally. So I came out, went to the Marine Corps, came back out, went to technical school for 2 years, and then transferred into Florida State. So, going to Florida State and being a part of Florida State was always a dream of mine. And then coming back, and now graduating from Florida State and then being the Florida State beat writer for, the local paper has been just an amazing experience. But, with as much as the struggles have been, it's been quite difficult. Quite a bit more difficult than it was, when Florida State was going to the playoff and, winning New Year's Six bowl games, not going to a bowl game and all of that. Although it has been much easier on the basketball end and the baseball end, because of how successful those programs have been.
Yeah, those don't pay the bills though.
What have you most enjoyed?
Poorly of the basketball and baseball programs.
Okay. All right.
You know what? I'm going to call Chris Nee. I'm going to have him come over to your house. We're going to come over to your house.
I will cough on him.
What's been your most enjoyable story you've worked on during your time on the beat?
It was a baseball story. The College World Series last year, I was out there for a month because I was doing the main coverage for USA Today. So I was out there for Florida State, but I also had to stay out there for the entirety. But, you know, Mike Martin, obviously a Florida State legend, you know, followed Florida State baseball for a very long time. He was a part of my childhood. You know, we'd go up to when Florida State would play games at Georgia Tech every other year. We'd make a big deal out of it, go to the series. Like, I remember being like 6 years old and sitting outside the dugout talking with 11, you know, just about the game of baseball. And so he was, you know, always a larger than life figure in my life. And then probably my favorite story that I've ever written on the beat was the night where Florida State got knocked out of the College World Series last year. Mm-hmm. And it was obviously a bad experience, you know, but, you know, the final one for him. But I followed him out. You know, I spent 3 hours just like taking video clips and following him around as he went through the final, you know, moments of his illustrious career. And I wrote a story just about, you know, what that was like. And I feel like that it was just such an interesting story. And, you know, I got to write, you know, about basically the end of a legend. And I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool. And you also wrote a cool column about him as well. And him getting to, when Baby Wayne got to meet him and stuff like that. So that was obviously, again, that's when you are able to write with passion, Wayne, like that's an advantage I think that you have almost everyone, almost against anyone else on this beat, is that you care about this program as much, if not more than anyone else covering it. With passion in mind, let's rewind a little bit to the Willie Taggart era. I always got the feeling that Willie did not care for you very much. And I don't think he trusted the media at all at the very end. But when Wayne would ask a question, Willie would start like grinding his teeth. He was not having Wayne's nonsense in his mind. How do you feel about your dynamic with Willie?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, I just think that, like, he got upset because we didn't cut him any slack. You know, when you're struggling, like, I wrote glowing things about him before that first Virginia Tech game. Like, we were all about it. You know, I was buying in. I was, you know, buying into what he was saying. And then the Virginia Tech game happened. All right. You know, that's first game. Then Samford happened. And then, you know, the next game happened. And the next game happened. And, you know, at that point, it starts, you know, the trend started. And it started to become clear. And we started writing about how, you know, he seems in over his head. You know, this clearly isn't working. And I think he took offense to that because we are the local paper. And, you know, you're supposed to be able, I guess, you know, in his mind, supposed to be able to rely on them to, you know, kind of ease the blow on certain things. But, you know, that's not my job. My job is to, you know, report on the program and then on game days write a column about what I see on the field. And what I saw on the field was a football team that had no direction, that did not look well coached, that, you know, played poorly. And I wrote that, and I think he took exception to it, and, you know, it's things went downhill from there, kind of like his, you know, tenure.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, Wayne. I remember the column you wrote after the Virginia Tech game was something among the lines of Willie Taggart has used up all his goodwill already, or any goodwill that he built up is now gone. And I remember thinking that was extreme at the time, like after one game, but history shows like you were correct in that.
I believe that was after the Samford game.
So it was two games. And so is that all it took, two games, for you to be like, all right, we're done here? Or I guess exactly when did you realize that it was not going to go in a good direction under Willie?
You know, after the first game, like, you give them the benefit of the doubt. But when your team comes out and plays poorly, like that poorly, to where you need a pick six in order to pull out a win over an FCS team, you know, everything was going well. Like, the amount of talent that he got on campus for that Saturday Night Live was incredible. I mean, you look at the amount of talent that he brought in, and, like, everything was riding high. Virginia Tech game, okay, it's Virginia Tech, it's your first game, you know, that is what it is. But Samford's a different story. Like, that's an FCS team that I think went on to lose more than half their games the rest of the year. Like, I get that they had Devlin Hodges, who, you know, went on to play for the Steelers. But, you know, you were a pick six away from losing that game to an FCS team. And at that point, like, yeah, you know, like, this isn't a good situation. You are in deep, deep trouble. And at that point, he had used up all his goodwill, I think. Like, people were really starting to question him. I was starting to question him. I think he could have recovered if he'd, say, you know, had a big win, like maybe beaten Miami with a 20-point lead. Like, that, you know, that would have done, you know, some good, not blowing a 20-point lead at Miami. But when you do that, you know, everything just continues to go downhill. So he could have recovered from that. I don't think that, you know, that was the end of it. But I do think that, yeah, that after the Samford game, he used up all the goodwill that he built up because his team looked awful.
So I want to transition, Wayne, to this past, after Willie's tenure, brief tenure, as we've noted, ended the coaching search, which was, I know for me, a really stressful time, and was a long, long month of that, from the time Willie was fired to the
Speak
time they...
Speak for yourself.
I mean, I'm sure my stress was projected onto my colleagues as well. But Josh, help me out with this, because I want to talk about it, and I feel like the Tallahassee Democrat and Knowles 24/7 were the only two local outlets that were consistently reporting news, but sometimes that news was either conflicting or not always lining up. And I guess, help me here. I'm trying to figure out the way to phrase the question.
Yeah, you go for it. To try to discredit my reports when you knew they were actually factual and the AD wanted to get his side of the story out. How'd that feel?
Ouch.
Jeez.
Like, damn.
I didn't think we were to get quite into that depth on it.
Brendan was just using a lot of words to try to soften that up.
He was.
There was some clarity to that, and maybe Wayne can provide it here.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just, you know, people, like, it wasn't just the athletic department that we were hearing stuff from. Like, we were hearing stuff from all over. Like, that was the thing that was so weird about the entire, like, coaching searches, that, like, things were flying from all sorts of directions. I mean, like, mm-hmm. boosters, inside people inside the program. I mean, you know, like, even, like, 24 hours before Mike Norvell was hired, like, you know, I got a call from a big-name booster telling me that it's going to be Bob Stoops. He's hearing it from reliable sources. Like, nah, man. Yeah. Like, no, that's not happening. Just the way everything worked out, just with everything was just flying everywhere. I don't know, like, where a lot of that was coming from. It ended up being a bunch of people, like, thinking they have reliable sources and they don't.
No, I was really just referring to, like, the original report. When I came out after the Wake Forest game, and said that there
was Wake Forest.
Yeah, after the Wake Forest game, basically said that the AD and the boosters were getting their ducks in a row in order to get rid of Willie Taggart if, you know, things went sour the rest of the way. And I think at that point, AD Coburn came out and made a statement, you know, kind of saying that it wasn't true. And at the time, I caught a lot of backlash from Brendan and to an extent Chris, because the AD of Florida State was coming out and he was kind of going against our report. But my thing,
Josh yelled at me a lot. I don't think it was backlash. Well, I was just telling
point
you.
My point to Brendan was, he's got to respond to it. The AD's going to respond to this report, and he's not going to use the outlet that broke the story. So, like, the Coburn's not going to come to us and use us to go against the report. He's going to go to a different outlet, you know? So that's, I think, where right at that moment, that was kind of, I don't want to say they're battle lines, but, like, that was kind of where you knew who was going with who. So when the Tallahassee Democrat put out a bit of news or something that didn't quote Coburn, because sometimes you guys did, I had to assume that it was coming from Coburn.
Yeah, it's, at some points, like, we were getting information from Coburn. At some points, we were getting information from other sources. Mm-hmm. I don't remember exactly which one that was.
And Coburn went on record. I mean, Wayne, when you guys, the story we're talking about was the debunking myths or rumors piece that you did, if I recall correctly. And there was multiple subjects that you touched on.
Yeah.
And, like, and one was actually, and to be fair to Wayne, one was actually confirming a report that we had that Willie had basically taken over play calling or taking a lead in play calling against Wake Forest. So that was the context. And Coburn went on record with you guys every single point that you made.
Yeah. And it was also, like, I get that you think that that was I do remember that story. And I remember having the conversation with Chris. And I also remember having the conversation with I remember sitting next to Chris when he had the conversation with David Coburn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that story, like, that whole thing wasn't in response to you.
Right. There was also I think somebody
it was Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer.
They took it a step further, right?
Yeah,
everybody tied that in with our report. It was crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't like a direct, you know, Josh Newberg's an idiot. Like that.
Yeah, no,
I didn't take it that way.
I didn't take it that way. See, I understand what the game is, and, like, I know if I put something out like that, the AD has to respond because he can't lose the program. He can't lose his coach, who's still under contract, who he hasn't fired yet. So to me, like, having the AD respond to it, I mean, I felt good about what I was reporting because the AD is not going to come out and respond to some shit. You know, he's going to respond to something that's legitimate. So I kind of expected the response. I don't know if Brendan and Chris necessarily expected the response, but I definitely think that, you know, from there on, it was kind of like I said, like, we knew where things were coming.
We were also wearing it a little bit more directly than you were in Tallahassee, which was part of just the human dynamic of right? Like, you're not the one who's getting scolded for what you're writing. You're kind of in a different place. So that was part of it, but I also
was confident in what I was writing. And I get it. Like, you guys, your name wasn't on the story, but you're the ones that have to defend it. You don't know my confidence level in it. You don't know how it's going to end up playing out. And, you know, we all know now looking back on it,
continue with that. Like, I remember sitting there talking with, sitting there as Chris was talking with Coburn about it. And, like, he was, you know, it definitely wasn't that wasn't directed at you guys in particular. That was more of the football scoop reporting that Urban Meyer would ever be a candidate for Florida State, which was just out of left field. Jesus.
Were you surprised that he responded to that?
Oh, yes. Honestly, I was surprised at a lot of the, at some of the responses. The way he responded to it, I did not expect that. And I even asked, I was like, are you sure you want us to use this? Because it was like, you know, like something about getting hit by a truck.
Even if Willie Taggart was hit by a bus or run over by a bus or truck or something like that. Yeah.
We wouldn't hire Urban.
Yeah.
That was kind of weird.
It was kind of a weird comment. I was like, wow. All right. Are you sure? And he's like, yeah, you know, I mean, it was a great quote.
Mm-hmm. It was. That was probably the quote of all of it.
We all remember it.
So with that in mind, like, in as that coaching search happened, though, there was other times when the Democrat would have a story from like a someone on background or off record. And it always struck me as interesting, Wayne, that there was this balancing act that I felt like you guys, and not just you, but like Jim Henry and pretty much you two there, like when you were reporting on these stories, would have to find, like, where you're wanting to use the source you have, and the Democrat has so many connections to Florida State, not just in the athletic department, but with boosters academically. So there's sources there. But sometimes I felt like they would ask you to say things in a certain way. And I don't know, did you struggle with that ever to be like, okay, we have this access and we have these quotes that no one else has, but we have to phrase it in the exact way they're saying. And that could, at least to me, make me uncomfortable at times. And I'm curious how you kind of dealt with that balancing act.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's some of that. And then there's also, you know, like, it was also reporting what, you know, like doing your best to report what you knew to be factual. Like, we came out with a lot less reports than a lot of other sites did, because we only reported, like, if we had something to, you know, to really report, like when, you know, Coburn told us that, yes, Bob Stoops was a candidate, Bob Stoops is no longer, you know, Bob Stoops is no mm-hmm. longer a candidate, you know, basically moving on to other options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at that point, you know, like we put stuff out about it. But yeah, I mean, it's at some points it gets difficult. But yeah, I mean, you do the best you can. Like that's the best way I could say it.
Yeah, no doubt.
And you guys were accurate with. I mean, everything was pretty accurate throughout the coaching search. Like when they started getting into it, there wasn't any misinformation. You guys weren't putting out names. You weren't saying that Bob Stoops was a done deal or anything like that.
I think you guys had some valuable moments during the coaching search for sure. I think between the Democrat and Knowles 24/7 probably gave you the most frequent and the most accurate updates. One of the things I think that you guys were most impactful on was the ability to kind of shut stuff down. Like you said, when you had Coburn come out and say that the Bob Stoops stuff was pretty much dead, you know, we were already leaning that way, but that was kind of like the official moment where we could kind of take that off of our plate, because like I said, we weren't talking to Coburn and the administration and using them publicly. So that's kind of like where you guys came into play in the importance of your role in the coaching search, I guess. You guys were able to kind of knock things down definitively at certain times.
Was that a question, Josh?
No, I was just talking about, just adding on to like what he was saying about that. I was agreeing.
I was just doing what you would normally do to me in that exact same scenario. No, I think that there was a lot of value with what the Democrat brought to the coaching search.
Wayne was talking, it was kind of talking like, you know, we did our best with what we got, but I think that's just kind of like what everybody does. You just do the best with what you got. Nobody has all the sources. Nobody's going to break all the news.
No, and they were, again, I'm saying that Wayne did a very accurate job in covering the coaching search and not putting out, you know, as it progressed, not putting out the BS. Wayne, when you got that call about Bob Stoops the day before, was there any point at all? Like, I know I felt like I was living in two different universes because I kept hearing the same stuff on Bob Stoops. But we were really reluctant to ever put that out there after you guys came out and said it was dead, because I trusted you on that. Mm-hmm. I knew that Florida State was putting that out there. Did that drive you crazy? Like, did you ever question yourself? Yeah.
Yes, man. Like, we'd be sitting there. Like, I'd be getting calls from, like, people that I know. Like, I'd be getting calls from my dad.
Right.
Like, you know, because my dad's fairly well connected when it comes to, you know, like, knowing, you know, big-time boosters. And he'd get a call, and he'd reach out to me, and I'm like, Dad, it's dead. It's dead. Like, leave it alone. It's dead. But, you know, like, we get calls, and, you know, it's just like, yeah, man, like, that's, it's just, it was honestly like living in two different universes. Like, there's the Bob Stoops universe, and then there's, you know, the real freaking world.
I completely agree with that. I think there was like two different realities when you would talk to people during the coaching search, and we heard some crazy stuff. I heard on good authority, coaches that were reached out to, even if it was just a phone call, that I told Brendan, and it was like, we couldn't put these names on the message board because one, like, we know it's not that serious and it's just like a phone call. But also the names, like if we were to put those out during the coaching search, it would have been a complete and utter meltdown on Noel's 24/7 message board. Like even if we preface it by saying, you know, like, guys, this isn't a true candidate, but he did get a call last night. So it was hard to decipher like what's the rumors worthy of putting out and not worthy of putting out, because I even had some pretty well-connected people calling me and telling me some pretty wild stuff that I had to kind of sort through and ignore.
James Franklin stuff from Penn State the week leading up to the hire was interesting. Just going back and forth, like hearing, oh, you know, they're basically, you know, getting close to a done deal, and then, oh, nope, he wants more money, and then they're going back to him, and just like the whole dynamic of that, like it was so, you know, just so interesting, just so many different people, you know, and it just.
Yeah, I was reporting the thing. I was one of the ones reporting the James Franklin. Remember that, Wayne? I reported some of the James Franklin stuff and got some pushback. But like that was semantics. Like they would say that James Franklin was like, oh, I was in New York when the implication was like that he couldn't have met with Florida State because he was in New York City. Like, I don't know. Do you believe that Franklin was at least in talks and negotiations with Florida State like the week or so before there was the Mike Norvell announcement?
I believe that Florida State met with him. Yeah. I don't know that they, you know, like anything other than that, just because everything, you know, all the rumors and everything was flying by and just like the difference, you know, like the different intel you were getting from so many different sources. And it was just, I fairly confident that Florida State met with James Franklin. Like
what was the craziest thing you heard of that? Like in hindsight, they were like, man, I can't believe that was an actual rumor that I had to entertain or address or call a source on.
I mean, Bob Stoops
and all of the Bob Stoops
rumors. But like the one like 3 days before where it says Bob Stoops or no, I'm sorry. The one that said Bob Stoops was in Tallahassee. That was the best one.
It was a blue halo.
In the cool picture sport. Of him at Hard Rock Casino drinking. Like came out like 2 hours after.
And then like saying he's not doing the XFL stuff. And then he's getting pictures at the XFL. It was.
That was hilarious. Because are you sitting there? Oh, you know, he's in Tallahassee. You know, trying to make all these calls. Then like 2 hours later, here pops up a picture that of him, he's been drinking at the Hard Rock Casino.
It was crazy. It was crazy. My wife was out of town training for a new job during that. And I'm thankful she was for like 2 or 3 weeks because there was no way I could have been like a dutiful husband during that time. Cause it
might've been better for your stomach considering you probably gained like 30 pounds eating as bad as you did.
I was just eating and at nighttime drinking, and it was not a great time for me. But we made it through.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell him about, I asked Josh to ask you, but he doesn't know the story. Do you want to tell him about Shamar Kilby Lane? this still bothers Wayne to this day. His, disdain for Jimbo Fisher as a human being. Keep in mind, Wayne served in the military, 2 tours overseas.
A tour in Afghanistan and then another tour overseas, not in the combat zone. Not in the combat,
but you were in a combat zone. And yes. Wayne is, I love Wayne because he has so many strengths. He sees life in a very black and white manner, and I'm more kind of in between. So when Wayne is lied to or feels wrong, and Wayne's very honest and truthful and upfront, if he feels that he's lied to, I'll set it up with that, Wayne, so they know your personality and why this bothers you.
Yeah. Okay. So
if you want to talk about it,
this was back in what? 2015?
15.
Spring 2015. I think that's right. Spring 2015. Shamar Kilby Lane's on the roster. Hasn't been at practice for like 2 weeks, right? We know this. Like pretty much everyone on the beat has confirmed that Shamar Kilby Lane has not been at practice. So I go in and I ask Jimbo Fisher about it. And Jimbo says, oh, he's been at practice. He's been at practice. Yeah, you must have missed him. And I, at that point, I was like, all right, you know, that's fine. Then he starts going in like, oh, he must have snuck out under the fence. Like, I can handle being lied to in that regard, but you're not going to sit there and, like, make fun of me for asking something that I know to be truthful and then try to make me look bad for it.
Yeah, it was condescending.
It was extremely condescending. Like, he was trying to make me look bad for asking that question. And Shamar Kilby Lane transferred because of academic issues like 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, I asked Wayne's wife about it like a year later. I'm like, does he ever talk about that still? She's like, yes, like frequently. Like, it's something that really stuck with Wayne for a very long time. And you can tell it still bothers him a little.
I just, you know, he like intentionally, like on video, like, was trying to make me look bad for the, like, to the people that I was, you know, I was trying to bring news to, and it was just extremely frustrating.
I've been there before. Yeah. It's frustrating. Yeah,
it happens. It happens to all of us at some point or another. At least you didn't ask Odell Higgins if Mark Snyder was still with the program when he was at practice, just cause, your coworker told me that he wasn't there. And I was like, okay,
I'll done ask. Your own work. Stop plagiarizing.
Plagiarizing.
It's very rich coming from the Tallahassee Democrat. Hey, all right. I think this is derailing in a place where we should end it soon. Wayne, last question I have for you. What's your favorite bourbon that I've recommended to you to date? Most enjoyable one.
Well, I do love the Eagle Rare. The Elijah Craig is really good.
I didn't think you liked that at first.
I did. My favorite bourbon is probably the Eagle Rare. I really enjoyed that. But I will always go back to the Woodford and Woodford Double Oaked if I can get it.
That's right.
But the Eagle Rare is probably my favorite that you've recommended to me.
It's a damn classic. Damn classic. Josh, you got anything?
Just before we let you go, Wayne, you are pretty friendly with the Knowles 24/7 crew and you have an interesting perspective. So from an outsider's view, how does this thing stay running?
How does
Knowles 24/7 stay running? I mean, we've been up and together for 10 years, me, Chris and Brandon, well, some for longer than others, but what's your perspective on the inner workings of Knowles 24/7?
Hire Zach full time.
To replace us all.
No, not to replace, you know, just to add on. Zach is a valuable member of the Knowles 24/7 community. And
Zach is hired, actually.
Zach is being taken care of right
this
now.
This is good. Here.
Good.
This is weird.
And you guys are going to be fine. I mean, that Brendan guy's, you know, a little iffy. But, you know, I feel like, you know, if you, Chris, and Zach are there taking care of things, having a guy like Brendan will be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And
are you wearing a headband?
My hair's gotten really long,
I mean, Josh, I expect you to wear a headband, but not you know, Sonone over here.
I didn't have it. It'll be all the way.
I got my day trading visor on.
Yeah.
But no, to all the fans, we have a lot of FSU fans that always ask about Zach. And Zach actually has been on staff getting paid for 5 or 6 weeks now, Brandon.
I think we're going on second month.
Yeah, going on second month. So I know for some reason there's a lot of concern over this man and what he's getting paid.
You know, I'm just trying to take care of my boy. He works hard.
He does. And we've been working on that for a while, and we appreciate Zach. And you're right. I do agree with you. We need to get him out in the forefront.
Josh was asking for you to, like, basically wash our balls, and you said that the intern was better than all of us and that I'm iffy and sketchy, Wayne. So
you were right, Brendan. We shouldn't get Wayne on.
I told you this is an awful idea.
He's been fighting this, Wayne, since the beginning. I was like, all right, let's get Wayne on. And he's like, no, we're not getting Wayne on.
Yeah, well, you know.
I wanted to wait for stuff, but it's fine. Yeah.
We can wait after stuff.
I'll come after stuff.
All right.
All right, Wayne.
Thank you for joining us. I know you were in pain today with your toothache. Poor little baby. I'll kiss it for you when I see you later, okay?
That's weird.
All right. Bye. You could hang up now.
Wayne McGahee, everybody.
I told him it would be 15 minutes, and it was 40.
He ain't got anything else to do. He's okay.
His dad's visited him and play with his grandbaby.
Like he's got time. He's got time. That was good. I've known Wayne for a while. Wayne's father used to help out my cousin in the 90s with recruiting. So the McGahees and the Newbergs go way back. But no, his dad did help my cousin out a lot. My cousin used to live in Atlanta, and that's kind of where Wayne's from. Wayne spent most of his life in Atlanta. And I know Wayne's been a huge Florida State fan. He's been a recruit, Nick, really, since, you know, his dad was helping Jamie make calls, and Wayne was probably like 10 years old back then. So as far as history goes and just depth of knowledge of the football program overall, Wayne is one of the best on the beat when it comes to that.
Yeah, I know we were busting his balls a little bit on it, Josh. You're right. When he first started, like, I think he was leaning very heavily on one, the work ethic, which Wayne has a great one, and covering recruiting and just trying as hard as he can to call people and be everywhere. And then the history, those were his two strengths. He didn't have a background in journalism, and he was learning how to become a stronger writer and columnist. And I should have told him while he was here, because it was probably been a nice thing to say. But
no, it's much easier to say when they're not here.
He's become so strong as a reporter and consistently either confirming news or breaking news or being in a place to get news, and then writing and writing like columns that people really enjoy. Like it's been as someone who didn't know Wayne very well early on, and it was kind of like, who's this dude? To now he's a really good friend, and we talk frequently during the week, and when we are able to see each other, we hang out and we'll enjoy some beers. And it's been nice to see my buddy really make a niche for himself in this market and cover it in the way he does. It's cool. It's neat.
All right. So who else do we want to sit down with before the series concludes? Is there anybody on our plate?
Not at the moment. Maybe David Hale from ESPN. I know we've had him on before. David's interesting. He covered Florida State for a while. Now he covers the ACC. He's very analytical, but also a really talented writer. The fans did not love him on the last time we had him on, but that was because he said he didn't think the offensive line was going to get that much better to markedly improve FSU's win percentage. And
did he lie?
He was correct. And I think one person noted on the message board that he was ended up being right anyway. So maybe him, maybe a couple of the former Orlando Sentinel writers like Coley Harvey and Andrew Carter, guys who preceded me when I was at the Sentinel.
Yeah, Coley Harvey would be a good one. He was here early in the Jimbo tenure.
Yep.
So yeah, he didn't get to – I don't think he got to cover the national championship, did he?
Nope, that was my first season.
Okay. So, yeah, Coley Harvey would be there. Good. What's the status? I've been asking you, what's the status with the War Chant guys? I'd love to get Corey on here. Ira would be great.
One of them ignored my text message, or did not respond, I should say. Maybe they just didn't get it. And then Corey told me nicely to go F myself, but in a loving way, because that's how we communicate with each other. Cool. So I'm not super confident in War Chant, but I think that would be interesting to have on. I mean, we saw like this conversation with Wayne, like there are things that we disagreed with during really intense times in this coverage. And I think you were kind of mean to him in saying the mouthpiece thing, but also, yeah, Wayne handled it well. And
it hurt my feelings.
It made me uncomfortable. I do think I want to eventually have us interviewed, like have some of the people who've been guests on the show interview you, Josh, and interview me, and interview Chris. And I also have this idea, maybe we can get it from our listeners and see if they think about it. What do we get, like, the women of Knowles 24/7 on, like my wife,
girlfriend?
Oh, we get Matt Baker on. He just took some heat from FSU fans. We get Matt on. Yeah. I'm friendly with Matt.
So we have like four or five more before the series is over, probably. Yeah. Four or five good ones. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. We want to thank everybody for listening. And also thank you guys for giving us those 5-star reviews on iTunes. Those are very important. If you listen to the pod and you want us to do more, take out your phone right now. Type in On the Bench. Give us a 5-star rating and please leave us a review. It'd mean a lot to us, and we appreciate you guys. We'll be back. Today's Friday. We're going to drop this on Friday. So we'll be back next week with another On the Bench. Thank you.
Sound like PBS begging for money.
I got no shame.
original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.